of Luke as we continue to talk about At Last Noel, the really, really, really good news of Christmas. Luke chapter number 1. Any children who'd like to go to Children's Chapel are dismissed at this time. Meet Brother Jim and Miss Marilyn and the staff in the back. Parents, we have a Children's Chapel downstairs from 0 to 4th grade. Downstairs with Miss Marilyn, there in the back. Take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1 as we get started today. They did such a fabulous job. I want to thank the Clarks and Miss Mix and Miss Rochelle and others that have done, Miss Lisa, and oh, there's just so many that have made this possible. Brother Mike with the sets and Brother Steve and others. Just really thankful for their involvement in ministering to the children, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. Luke chapter number 1, we're going to start in verse number 26. I'll read the even numbers, and you'll read the odds. If you found Luke chapter 1, say amen. Here we go. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of the kingdom there shall be no end. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you, and it is a blessing to be in your house. We're thankful, Father, for the children and their efforts and the families that they represent. We're thankful, Father, for our visitors today, that they've come to be a part of our worship. And now today, Father, we ask that you would speak through your word and bless us today. There's one on campus that does not know Christ as their Savior, not sure heaven's their home. May they trust Christ. And for us, your children, it's been really good news that your Son came for us, came to die for us. Bless us as we spread this news abroad in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. Really, really good news. The word Noel is one of the words I love from Christmas. We sang the first Noel as a kid. It was part of our children's programs, and I love that word. But it's a French word, and it means the birth, not just birthday. Everybody has birthdays. And, well, one year Levi didn't have a birthday. He was so mischievous and being such a pain, we took away his birthday for a year. And we really did. We wanted to take it away permanently. But if you got kids, can you say amen to that? Okay. But the word Noel means the birth of all births, the birth that made the difference, the birthday or the celebration of the birth. See, the real question is not where was Christ born. We know that. It was Bethlehem. When Christ was born. You can argue that till you're blue in the face. But the real question is not was he born or where or when, but or even how. That's been established and been settled. The real question is, do you know why he was born? Do you know why? See, the really, really, really good news that the kids are singing about is the why Jesus was born. Man had a need. Man had a need. He couldn't fix himself. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, for there is none righteous, no, not one. We had a need, but God had a plan. That's the really good news. Ever since the beginning, the foundation of the world, the Bible says in Revelation 5 and verse 9 that Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means from the moment God decided to create humanity, he knew he was going to need to send a Savior. Man had a need, but God had a plan. I've had those opportunities where I had a need but didn't have a plan. Anybody else had that problem? You've been broke down, didn't have a plan. Out of money, didn't have a plan. Was in a mess, didn't have a plan. And there's a lot of times I'm thankful somebody else who knew what they were doing show up who had a plan. We had a need we couldn't fix. We are sinners. We're not just sinners by choice. We're sinners by birth. And it started back in the garden. This birth, this one birth of the Christ child was going to change everything. That's why we sing Noel. Noel, Noel. Why? Because it's the celebration of the birth. This birth was the step in God's plan to meet our need. See, God's plan had always been a substitute. A substitute. And he had used the Old Testament to try to explain it to us, to try to give us visual pictures. How many of you in here love pictures? Do you love it when somebody draws you a picture? Isn't it better when somebody draws you a picture? How many of you are really, really bad at just auditory direction? Nobody wants to. No, come love you. All right, there's a lot of you in here. You know what I'm talking about because you're sitting next to somebody who needs a picture. Can I get an amen? Huh? Okay, so the thing is, that's what I love about cell phones now. I just take my cell phone and I take a picture of it and text her. Is that what you wanted? No, not that brand. Now we do FaceTime. Anybody else love that? Get your phone out. I do. Listen, I used to do unaccompanied, unsupervised food purchases. Any other guy in here ever do that? Uh-huh. Oh, man. You come home not only with a couple of things she wanted and a few she didn't, and a few she didn't, you missed a few things. So now we go FaceTime shopping together. Whenever I have to stop somewhere, I put it on the camera and I FaceTime my wife. Is that the one? Is that? Can you see that? I'm looking at myself. Okay. God knew we needed a picture or we wouldn't understand it. See, in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God took the first picture of the substitute because he had to cover them with skins. Now, you can shear an animal multiple times and they live, but you can only skin them bad boys once. Blood was shed. Starting in the Garden of Eden with those skins, those coats of skins, God had took an animal and killed the animal in place of their sin. Do you understand? The substitute. This was God's plan to meet God's need, or to man's needs. It was God's plan to meet man's needs. You fast forward in Genesis. Noah created the ark. The ark is a picture of salvation. All those that went into the ark were saved. That's a picture of salvation. Genesis 22, God finally gives Isaac to Abraham. He finally has a son in his old age, a miraculous child, a child that was born way past mom's expiration date, if you know what I'm talking about. And then God says, I want you to sacrifice that child. So they walk 3 days to a specific mountaintop outside of a dusty little crossroad named Jerusalem. And on a hillside out there, outside of that little town, he put Isaac on an altar of stone and wood. And when he went to slay him, God stopped him. And he looked behind him, and there was a ram with his horns caught in the thicket. And it says that Abraham said that he put the lamb in place of or instead of his son. And he called it Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. That means we're going to see this again. That God would substitute his lamb for us. That was the picture. Man had a need. God had a plan. He started to explain it all throughout the Old Testament with every sacrifice. You know, even the temple and the tabernacle was the tent, and then the temple was the building. All of them explained salvation. You walk through the front gate, you have to walk past the laver of brass, which is grace, and be cleaned, and then go through past the table of showbread, which was the word of God, and the candlestick, which was the light, and the incense, which was the Holy Spirit, and through the veil into the holiest of holies. This was a picture. That lamb would be substituted for us. See, man had a need. God had a plan. That's a really, really, really good news they were singing about. In Galatians chapter number 3, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. Some 1,200 years after Abraham, Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, hung on a cross on the top of that same mountaintop where Abraham laid Isaac on an altar. Isaac said, Dad, we're walking, I see this up here, but where's, I see the knife, I see the fire, I see the wood, where's the lamb? And Abraham says, God shall provide for himself a lamb. God shall provide himself a lamb. That's what it actually says. Because it's true, God provided one that was suitable, and God provided himself as the lamb. See, man had a need he couldn't fill. Man had a need he couldn't fix. But God had a plan. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 3. Christmas in one verse is John 3:16. This verse is so widely known around the world, put into so many different languages, but it's Christmas in one verse. It says, for God so loved the world. Do you know this one? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God, now that's the greatest person ever, fulfilling the greatest plan. For God so loved the world. This is the greatest passion ever. You know, have you ever seen the sign that says, Jesus is the reason for the season? You ever seen that? I love that. And I love Christmas time. We've been listening to Christmas music since before Thanksgiving. Anybody else? I love Christmas. For God so love. That two-letter word, so, is so, it's powerful because it gives you an understanding of what kind of love we're talking about here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This was God fulfilling his plan. It says, people say Jesus is the reason for the season. The truth is, no. It's the love of the Father toward mankind. That's the reason for the season. Do you understand? In the garden, the night Jesus was arrested, he prayed and said, if there's any other way we can get this done, Lord, I'm willing to do it. Let this cup pass from me, but God, not my will, but thine be done. If there's any other way, I love Jesus, but I want you to understand that God loved you so much, that's the reason we have Christmas. For God so loved the world, he gave. What is the most precious thing on the planet? Is it gold? Is it silver? Is it diamonds? Is it something on the periodic table you can't even pronounce? No. Because when the chips are down, when all is lost, you aren't interested in your possessions. You're interested in the people in your life. Isn't that right? God didn't die for the gold on this planet. Neither did he die for the precious stones or the humpback whale. The most precious commodity on the planet is the human soul. Amen. And God shed his blood for the soul of mankind. See, God, man had a need. That's the really, really, really good news, is that God had a plan. Look at that, John chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Let me tell you something. It's always been about substitution. The Bible says in 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he first loved us. And the fact that he was willing to give his son is the greatest proof of his love. Hey, I got news for you. You can give to people without loving. But you can't love people without giving to them. Yeah, I've asked several of your children already, do you have Christmas presents at the house? And they're like, uh-huh. And I go, are they little bitty ones or are they big ones? And this one little girl, Sean's little granddaughter, is like, phew. I go, they big. See, you can't help it. So a couple of you walked, they're not just Brother Sean, but others of you have walked in here with grandkids just a beaming. Why? Because when the chips are down, when all is lost, the only thing you really care about is the souls of the people you love. For God so loved the world. Why? We had a need we couldn't fill. For God so loved the world. God had a plan. He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:6 that Christ was given as a ransom for us all. Why would God do that? Why would God do that? I love my kids, and there are days when I want to just push them through a wall. Can I get an amen? Huh? There are just days when you're just like, you just want, anyway. Did your dad ever smack you on the head? I knew he loved me because he smacked me on the head. And he just kind of, what are you thinking? God loved us so much that a substitute had to be given. Christmas is about God's love to man, not man's love to God. For the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 8, but He had commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took my place. He took me off the cross and He put Himself in my place. That's the really, really good news. I had a need. God had a plan. And it wasn't because I deserved it. Man, God didn't get a deal when He got me. God got took. But because God loved me, God sent His Son to die for me. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's the greatest proposal ever. The greatest, I mean, let's face it. How many of you took advantage of the deals that were going on this weekend? Well, there's some shopper denial going on in here right now. I mean, you could get an iPod Mini at Best Buy for $220. Yesterday, you could get an iWatch at Kohl's yesterday. I've been watching the circulars, man. I've been wanting to buy some of this stuff. I printed off. How many of you printed off a coupon this week? Come on now. I print off a Kohl's 30% off. Bazinga! Take it 1/3, baby. We were like, and I was bugging her all day. We're going to Kohl's, right? We're gonna. What an opportunity! And she had $10 in Kohl's cash. I thought for sure I was in like Flynn, man. I thought for sure she was going to bite at that apple, buddy. No, we'd end up going. Just because it's a really good deal don't mean we need it, you know? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what a proposal, anybody who needs, listen, anybody who wants their sin forgiven, anybody who wants a home in heaven, anybody who wants eternal life, anybody who wants a new body who won't get sick or die or get crow's feet or turn gray hair or turn loose. The greatest proposal ever is that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, what an opportunity. Do you realize this is as close to hell as a Christian will ever get? Standing in line at Kohl's. I mean, seriously. Somebody caught that, huh? Yeah. Yeah. How many of you walked out of a store because the lines were too long, huh? Trust me, if you're born again, this is as close to hell as you'll get. But without Jesus Christ, this is as close to heaven as you get. This is it. This is as good as it gets. It don't get any better. See the whoop. Thought I was going to fall, didn't you? I wasn't going to fall on you, really. The front pew would have caught me. The front pew would have caught me, sister. The truth is, the greatest proposal ever was because man had a need and God had a plan. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you aware of your need? Are you aware of it? When did you become aware of the fact that you had a need? When? You know, the Christians in here are like, yeah, get them, preacher. Get them. They're lost. They need to be saved. Get them. Perry, paying attention. Preacher's cut. He's talking about you. Christians, do the people in your life know they have a need and that God has a plan? It's Christmas. You're going to be meeting with family. You're going to have office Christmas parties, cubicle parties. Our offices were too big, so we had cubicle parties. You know, just my little quad of cubes would have gift exchange and Dirty Santa, and everybody would bring stuff. And do they know they have a need? Do they know that they have a need that they can't fill? Religion doesn't fill it. Being baptized don't get you to heaven. Being a member of this church, I think you'd go first class if you were a member of this church. But don't be a member of this church don't get you to heaven. Right? I mean, seriously. I had a friend say, well, listen, I'm going to send an offering. I'm like, well, that's fabulous. And they're like, well, just do with it whatever you want. And I said, so that can go in the pastor's Harley fund? And they're like, no. I said, yeah, but I get to do the work of the Lord in style. No. I think you go in style as a first class member of First Baptist Church, but that's not what gets you to heaven. You have a need. God had a plan. Do your friends know that God had a plan? Have you talked to them about it? Have you shared with them that God's love to mankind is the reason for Christmas? We give gifts not because it's an American holiday. We give gifts because God gave a gift to us. Do your friends know that we're celebrating Jesus? Well, Jesus wasn't born in the winter. All right, pick a day. We'll have Christmas in June. I'm down for Christmas in June. Anybody else? We can decorate outside, not freeze to death. Do your friends know? You're going to be visiting family this next couple of weeks. I have pastors out in the Midwest that have huge days on Christmas. And I tell them that's because everybody leaves Washington and goes west. Are you going to tell them when you're there? See, the reason for the season is God's love toward mankind. God's plan was implemented, started at Bethlehem. It culminated on Calvary and was completed. And his resurrection proved that he was the Son of God with power. Amen. See, God had a plan this whole time. This whole time, even 2,000 years later, God's plan is still miraculously working. But you know, the choice is yours. The choice is yours. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never trusted Him as your Savior, God's leaving the choice up to you. He loved you. He's already shown the world His love. And it's up to us to accept it. Christian, God uses you and I to share this plan with others. It's not complicated. It's not hard. It's not unknowable. It's just us telling people how we accepted Christ as our Savior. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to remember back to when it happened to you. When did you accept God's proposal? When did it happen? I wasn't there. What happened? Can you share it from your heart? Can you say, well, I was 11 and I was at camp, or I was in Sunday school. I finally went to my mom and dad. I was convicted about this. And I went to my parents and I said, when did you become a Christian, Dad? He said, I was 14. This is back in the old days. I rode my horse to town. And out on the edge of town was a tent. There's hay bales set up. And they were singing songs, and I went in to see what was going on, and it was a tent revival. And I walked the aisle and trusted Christ as my Savior. No greater gift can be received than salvation. But the second greatest gift that is given is the knowledge that my parents are in heaven. Have you told your children about the plan, about the proposal, how you trusted Christ? I went to my mother and I said, Mom, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And she said, yes, I know the Lord. When did it happen? When did you accept it? And she said, I was 11. It was Vacation Bible School. And I've been to that little brick church that was near their farm. It's gone now, but it was abandoned when I saw it. And she said, down in the basement, I knelt down on the concrete floor with my Vacation Bible School teacher. She was my Sunday school teacher, and she led me to Jesus. You know, the greatest gift you can give your kids this season, first is sharing the gospel with them so that they'll know Jesus as their Savior. But the second greatest gift you can give your children this Christmas is the knowledge that you personally know Jesus. Don't you let them die. Don't you die and let them wonder if Mama's in heaven. Don't you die and let them wonder if Papa knew Jesus. Don't you do that. I do funerals for families who somehow have not found a church yet. And they don't know. It's Christmas. Many people are trying to hang on. There'll be a lot of, this is sad and it's kind of sick, but after Christmas there'll be a lot of deaths because people are trying to hang on through Christmas. But usually in the next 2 weeks, I'll do 3 funerals for folks who just didn't thrive long enough. And it's Christmas. And And they don't know because mom never told them. Or dad didn't ever get around to them. I just never got around. I can just hear him. I just never got around to telling him. Don't do that. God met the need of mankind because he loved mankind. And it's that love that's the reason for the season of Christmas. And do you realize that if you would tell your kids, don't you worry. If something happens to dad, something happens to me, I'll be with Jesus. Because on this day, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I don't know the date, but I was so old and I was here and this is when it happened. This is when I gave my heart to Jesus. Don't you worry. I'll be in heaven. Now I'll be watching. Hebrews says we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I'll be watching. Don't you worry. I'll be with Jesus. See, man has a need. God has had a plan. And he's been fulfilling that plan for 6,500 years of human existence. He has been meeting that need. And he has been, some of those in the Old Testament were looking forward in time and died in faith. But for you and I, we look backwards in time and we remember when it happened. We look backwards and say, that's when Christ hung on the cross for me. That's when Christmas became real. He died for me. Have you made your choice yet? How about your family? Have they made their choice yet? Are they aware of their need? It says in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. Do you realize that just one substitute, just a substitute like a lamb or something wouldn't do? Abraham told his son Isaac, as they were walking up to the place where he was going to put Isaac on an altar, he said, son, God shall provide himself a lamb. And as I said before, the two meanings are that he would provide one that's suitable, which he did, and number two, that it would be he himself who would be the lamb. The infinite God became an infant so that he might take the infinite punishment of sin in a finite period of time. God himself came from glory to the stall in Bethlehem. It's incredible. Next week we're going to be looking at his relationship with Mary and the idea that he would humble himself, lay aside his glory, and come to our world. I mean, people give themselves. Our American military are so selfless to give themselves for us and our freedom. But God, who didn't have to, did because he loved us. That's the really, really, really good news. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Have you given someone else that opportunity too? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. There's so much more I could say. But as I said, it's not about when Christ was born or where. Do you know why? Can you tell others? Our Father and our God, we're thankful for your love. This sacrificial love that I just can't wrap my head around all the time. I'm just, by faith, I am thankful that you love me even before I knew you. I'm thankful, Father, for the children today and the message they gave in song. The message of your love to us. And Father, as much as we're excited about the children all having an understanding and a testimony, Father, if there's someone in this room right now that if they died, they're not sure heaven's their home, Father, give them an opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. Give them the courage to come forward and let me lead them in a prayer. And Father, for your children today, us Christians who already know the love that you've given, have already accepted the proposal, Father, I pray, God, you would bring to mind someone right now in our life that is yet to be saved, that needs us to tell them of our Savior. Thank you, Father. Now give us the courage. Let us call upon you and ask for the courage to share your plan with them. In Jesus' name, amen. As Ms. Mix plays, the altar's open. This is your opportunity to do business with God. If you've never trusted Christ, no one's looking, just come. Give your heart to Jesus. You're saved. You know people, and I, just like I do, who've never heard, who don't understand.
You are the treasure that
they've never trusted Christ. Won't you come? Won't you ask God to give you the courage to say, yes, I'll give them the gospel. I will tell them about my story.
Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool.
There's no reason anyone should leave here today wondering if heaven's their home. You're given a golden opportunity by God the Father. He's intersected your life right now with an opportunity for you to trust Him as your Savior. Won't you come?
My shame rising.
Do you know what the reason is, the real reason for this season?
All in all.
Are you aware?
When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
God loved you. Before you even existed, He knew you and He loved you. He has forgiven us so much. Isn't it time we forgave others? Is there someone you're going to have to ask forgiveness from this week or next? Don't let it go. Don't let it go. How about you? Is there someone in your life that doesn't know Jesus? This is going to be your golden opportunity. They're going to be singing songs on the radio of His life and His birth. Your money's not going to save you. Your good works aren't going to save you. God doesn't enter into casual relationships with people. He's looking for children.
Taking my
Won't you be born
sin,
again?
Cross my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down,
you're not going to get to go to heaven because your mama was saved.
I am dry, you
or your daddy was saved.
Cup, you are my all in all.
God only has children. Won't you be His child?
Jesus, Lamb of God.
Won't you come? What are you waiting on? Come on.
Worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God. Worthy is your name.
Won't you give your heart to Jesus? Won't you give your heart to Jesus? Maybe you say you don't know what to say. Just pray. Admit to God you're a sinner. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I know you died for me. I'm trusting you as my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Just pray that little prayer. Talk to God. Won't you today? We're just sinners that need a Savior. Just call upon His name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you call out to Him? Won't you please? There's time for you. There's time for you. God's doing business with people. It's not too late. Now, come on. Come on. Come on.
When I fall down, you lift me up. When I am dry, I fill my cup.
When did it happen? When did you trust Jesus? Won't you share that with your kids? Say, I got saved. I know it. This is when it happened. If you can't answer that question, you need to get it settled. When did you get saved? How did you get saved? What about you? What about you?
Taking my sin, my cross, my shame.
God's not looking for perfection. God's not looking for perfection. God's looking to give forgiveness. Don't know where you've been. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter your past. Your future is God's if you'll give it to Him. Sing it out. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. About your past. God isn't interested in your past. Don't you worry. He's ready to save your future. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we're so thankful to be in your house today, to be among such fine people who love you and worship you. Thank you for the children and their message today. And Father, today we just praise your name. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving me beyond anything I imagined. Thank you, God, for giving yourself in my place. Thank you, Father. Now give me the opportunity to share it with those in my life, those I come in contact with. Father, let our lives count for eternity by telling people what happened to us and how we came to know you as our Savior. And Father, as we go from this place, let us take your praise on our lips, your love in our heart, and may we share it with others in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.